Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Former Super Bowl champion, longtime NFL analyst, a contributor as well for The Athletic, our friend Trent Dilfer. Trent, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm good. Just took a sick teenage daughter to school, so I'm sure I'll be going back to get her pretty soon. But besides that, all good.
Good deal, man. Good deal. We were just talking about the Chiefs in the opening segment, and Chiefs fans have been scarred. They have seen this story unfold before. A great offense let down by a bad defense. Great quarterbacking like a Trent Green lead them to the playoffs, but ultimately no postseason wins. But do you think the Chiefs fans can feel comfortable with this team? Is this team different because of that quarterback?
They're definitely different. I mean, the explosive qualities of this team are mind-boggling, to be honest with you. I have a hard time articulating how many dimensions they have offensively. And I think in today's football, and I'm the biggest believer, obviously, in defense ultimately helps you win a championship because I was carried by one. But I think in today's football, with the rules adjustments, with everything that's going on, just the general aura of the NFL, that if you have that many explosive qualities, you can probably finish the race on that note, meaning that can be enough. Now we got bad weather coming. We have injuries coming. There's a lot of things that will come up, stuff that you're going to have to overcome in the course of a season. But they have so much depth offensively. They are rolling so much. I think schematically they're in a group of five or six or seven that are just light years ahead of everybody else. Every week seems to be a new version of some type of college offense that they come at you with that the other team isn't ready for. But I do think the Chiefs should feel very confident in this football team.
Let's go back to something you just said, defense winning championships. We all know about your Baltimore Ravens defense of 2000, but the game has changed so much since then, and I struggle with this as well. I want to keep going back to ultimately defense wins titles for you, but then I say, I don't know if that really applies anymore. Do you think you still need a great defense 18 years after that championship?
I think you need great critical defense. I think I've always said this. I believe this in my heart of hearts. If I just want to simplify football down to its very bare minimum, it's going to come down to a third, 5-8 when you're down four. And can you drop back and throw the ball? If you're a defense, can you get after the passer and stop them? I mean, it's really going to come down to that one singular down in the playoffs or somewhere in your run, where everybody in the world, everybody watching, everybody in the stadium knows that it's a must-pass situation. Offensively, are you good enough to drop back and execute? Or defensively, are you good enough in that situation to rush the pass or get after and make them uncomfortable, make them make an error and throw or cover the receivers up well enough and contest the ball and knock it down? And I think you can kind of play that little micro play out in a couple different situations. Can you play good and end of half, end of game situations defensively? Can you play well in the red zone? Can you let a team go 65 against you and gash you, but then get to the red zone and kind of tighten things up and keep everything in front of you and make them kick field goals? If you can play that type of defense in today's football, then you got a chance. If you're a defense, the ball's getting thrown up over your head or you're giving up 50% touchdowns in the red zone, you got no chance unless you can throw out a Rams or Kansas City offense right after it and go match them point for point, but that doesn't happen very often.
Trent Dilfer joins us this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio, which brings us to the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they were supposed to have this great defense and a team that was built to win in January, and they're not winning in September or October, and they had to bench Blake Bortles yesterday. Do you think that the Jaguars would have to make a quarterback change to actually get to where they want to go, or is this a real team-wide problem they're suffering through?
I have been so wrong on this team, so I'm probably the worst person to ask that question. I mean, I have been so wrong. I loved how they played through the playoffs. I thought Blake had kind of found his confidence. His teammates and his coaches had supported him so much through his struggles. He comes out the beginning of this year. He's playing with a different aura to him. His mechanics looked different. Just looked more authoritative in how he played. And then all of a sudden, boy, did they just hit a stinky sandwich wall. I mean, it just went bad fast. Blake's playing terrible. The defense isn't getting the ball back. It seems like there's locker room dissension. And really not that many things happened to him. Like, you can't make excuses for him. They lost a tackle. Yeah, their running back, who's a good runner, but not necessarily one of the best players in football. They lose him. Like, they didn't lose so much that it should have been an end-of-the-world situation. And it sure has looked that way. So I've been shocked by what's happened in Jacksonville. I think you do at this point. I mean, obviously, the Blakes, I went through this in Tampa where your teammates just lose all confidence in you, and you got to at least make a move, if not permanently, temporarily, to put hope into your team, because there's still time to save the season. Boy, watching the last few weeks, you wouldn't think that they'd be able to.
Yeah, and I'm on your train with Blake Bortles. I keep wanting to defend the guy, and yet here he is, and he's become indefensible. Let's go to Mike Vrabel's decision yesterday to go for two and the win. They did not get it. Vrabel says, we're going to keep doing that. Feels like coaches are trying this stuff more and more. Frank Reich did this a couple of weeks ago, got burned by it. But what do you think? Are we now entering a realm where coaches are going to be wired to be more aggressive than they had been in the past?
Yes, the analytics will tell you. If you do some deep dives in the analytics, and trust me, on Twitter, I got every analytics geek reaching out to me and telling me why they're always right. but the analytics do tell you that you should be more aggressive, and I'm all for that. The problem is they all put it in the same box. Right, every stat geek puts decision making into one box, and that is you always do it because the numbers say you should do it. And I understand that logical part of it. I'm a right brain thinker as well, but I've also been around football my whole life where you step back sometimes. You say, sometimes just getting into overtime is okay. Sometimes punting and throwing a defense out there and pinning a team is okay. You don't have to always make the ultra aggressive decision. And I think what some of these coaches are falling into is the hubris of, I am always going to be in attack mode. We are always going to be aggressive. Always, always, always. And then sometimes always gets you losses. So I'm more of the Belichick mold that is in his career been more aggressive than most. However, there are times when he uses discretion over arrogance and says, you know what, this time being aggressive isn't the best decision. And that's ultimately the goal of the head coach, is you don't play the game out before the game starts. You play the game as the game is going. And too much of football in general, and I study football from high school to college to pros, and in general we have too many coaches that have already made their decisions before the whistle ever blows to start the game. And I've been around some Hall of Fame coaches, and the ones I've been around and the ones I've studied have all their gift is that their decision making is based on the flow of the game, the temperament of their team, and sometimes a gut decision that they just know what they thought was going to happen before the game started isn't what's happening now. I hope that's a balanced answer to this question. So just get on one side of the fence where you always got to be conservative, or you always got to be aggressive. No, I think you got to do what's best in that singular moment.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I completely agree. Trent Dilfer joins us here on the show. And not only has Trent been a longtime NFL analyst, football analyst in general, obviously Super Bowl champion as well, he's working with Panini America, the exclusive trading card company and partner of the NFL and NFLPA. And this is always so cool. Panini has a Super Bowl kid reporter that's going to be able to ask players interview questions at Super Bowl Media Day in Atlanta. This is always so awesome. So for our listeners, how can they make sure their kids are getting into these Panini packs?
You just go buy Panini trading cards and then enter the promotional code on the back. It's so cool. You're going to do it anyways. I mean, the kids are going to go buy trading cards. Panini's cards are ridiculous cool. You go get them at your basic hobby shops or your Walmarts or your Targets. Enter the code, and then I've been doing this now for 5 years, and it's the most fun I have at the Super Bowl, is I get to take this kid reporter on Super Bowl Media Night, which is Monday, coach him up in the afternoon on questions to ask and how to go about getting through the madness, which is media night. And then I get into the front of every line. They get ahead of all the big reporters, and they get in front of the Tom Brady's of the world and get to ask them some cool questions. And it is the best. Last year, Tom's had some signature moments, so it seems like he's in the Super Bowl every year. But last year he was so jacked up to see the kid I brought up. He brought him behind the stage, was super engaging with the kid reporter, asked questions back. I mean, it's just really a neat thing. I think it's a breath of fresh air for the players that have to sit there on those podiums for an hour to see a 10-year-old come up and ask them a question about their parents or ask them a question about something that not another reporter's thought about. And it's been one of the really special things I've been able to do in my career, is being able to help these kids out have the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, and I can totally second that notion. I've been at those Super Bowl media days and seen the players and coaches' eyes glaze over after the 15th time they've asked about the opponent's defensive scheme. And then you have one of these young reporters come up and ask a unique question, and their eyes light up and they're totally engaged and they're really warm and conversational. And I think it really is refreshing in that night. It's great, I think, from a media standpoint to see young people doing that and getting that opportunity. So PaniniKidReporter.com is where you can go. Go buy your packs of Panini NFL trading cards. Enter the unique code PaniniKidReporter.com for more info. Trent, always good to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much for doing it today with us.
All right, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you. See you, pal.
You too.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.